Alrighty then, this is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday evening. As we approach the middle of December here very quickly, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, getting together the North Shore Sports Writers podcast that will drop tomorrow as we speak. A lot of information coming up there. We'll get to that in just a little while. Tonight we sort of kick off the winter sports season here on MSO, as we will be talking primarily high school hockey, but we'll also get into some basketball and other stuff as well. Our guests tonight will include Winthrop High School hockey coach Dale Dunbar and Essex Tech High School hockey coach Mark Leonard, both longtime friends of MSO. And both coaches opening up with victories this past weekend. Tomorrow I'll have an interview posted from the Gloucester High School hockey coach, Derek Geary. They opened up the season with a 3-2 win over Concord Carlisle in overtime. And, of course, massive changes, not massive changes, but big changes in the Gloucester roster, losing some of their firepower from last year. So that's kind of will be an interesting interview with Coach Geary as well. Lots of stuff to talk about. We'll have Mike Grenier on at the bottom of the hour, our basketball insider, who'll talk about his Power Five and things that have gone on in the past week with the Celtics and with the NBA. And, of course, bad news from Red Sox Nation. Good news, more or less, from the Bruins and the Patriots. And, Tim, I don't know if you want to mention a little bit about world soccer, but maybe your take on where that's headed right now.
Well, there's certainly been a lot of upsets, as we have, as those who have followed have seen. Morocco in the semifinals, first time in decades that has occurred, first time for that nation. And a lot of people think it's an upset. If you watch them play, they play all out. They're not satisfied just being there. They came to win, and they know the only way they can win is to play and play hard. And they play full team, full tilt. And it's really enjoyable to watch them hustle. And that's how they've won their game. They have simply out-hustled the opposition. They have managed to create opportunities, and they've managed to cash in on several of those opportunities while playing outrageous defense and shutting down some of Europe's best teams. So it certainly has been a game, a cup run of surprises. You look at who's fallen: Brazil, England, the Netherlands, Belgium, all those that everybody figured would go deep into the cup tournament. Have fallen by the wayside. Hearts have been broken. Managers have resigned. So it's certainly, while the beginning of it was rather slow and tedious, the last week especially has been anything but, and it's been full of excitement. And just, I'm waiting for tomorrow to watch Argentina, because my wife is from Argentina, so I'm sure she'll be anxious all during the day at work. Argentina, France, that should be a great one. You got Messi against Mbappe, it's just going to be lights out for the next 2 days, while the semis, and then the final next Saturday.
All right, that's from our World Cup insider, Tim Kearns. And Coach, it's interesting. One of my son's caregivers, I just met her 2 weeks ago, is from Morocco, and I had never met anyone before from Morocco, so that's kind of a coincidence. I can't wait to talk to her and see how she's feeling.
Well, I'm sure that she is feeling the national pride and the excitement, because you listen to people that are being interviewed around the world and it's just not Moroccans, as the announcers of the games have been saying. You know, they carry the hopes and dreams of Moroccans, of Africans, and of Muslims. So there's a great deal of pressure that could be put upon them carrying all those different banners. But I think they're just laying it out there. Of course, the thing that about Morocco, they're not just a team out of the blue, a team that they put together to put out there. Most of these guys are playing in England, in France, in Germany, in Belgium. They're playing amongst the world's better leagues. And so these guys aren't just, off-the-shelf players. These guys are really good professional soccer players who have played at some of the highest levels. So they're just bringing all those skills and all that experience together into one place, and it's really showing the value of these guys going out and traveling and playing around the world.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that Morocco is, representing all of Africa. One of my other son's caregivers, a wonderful man, is from Nigeria. So I'll have to ask him about this whole deal as well. And as I understand it, Coach, these players play in all kinds of leagues all over the world, but they then coalesce into all-star teams for their representative countries, their respective countries?
Yeah, they all try out for their national team. And they're the... You could say they're the best players in their country.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
All right.
And there are guys that win caps as they're called for being selected and playing in a match. And there's a lot of these guys have many caps to their credit. Some are younger, but they are full of enthusiasm. They are full of energy, and you better be ready to run with them because they'll run right by you if you don't.
So we'll keep our eye on that, and that's going on, coming up. Tim will have more on that for us next week. So, good.
Tomorrow and Wednesday are the semis, and then final Saturday.
Okay. Very cool. I'm getting educated in the world of international football, or as we Americans call it, soccer. And speaking of football, of course, Patriots tonight in Arizona. I have stayed away from the sports channels, and so I don't know the take on it. I'm sure it's all negative, but we'll see what happens this evening. I did watch Brady last night. Did you see that game, Tim?
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can call that a game, but yeah. I watched quite a bit of it.
Yeah, he's got to be frustrated. Number of drops once again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's tough to watch because as much as I don't care what Brady does down there, he is, we're still watching the greatest of all time. So, and I don't think that he has declined, from what I can see in terms of his fastball. So,
the crazy thing was he got beat by Mr. Irrelevant last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I did hear that, he did, talk to the kid after the game. And so that's cool. A little class there. I like that. All right, so we're approaching 9 minutes into our program here, and we will take a quick break and come back with Dale Dunbar, who is the Winthrop High School hockey coach. He's also an NHL agent, former professional hockey player at many levels, including the NHL with the Boston Bruins. And we'll get his take on how things are going at the start of this high school hockey season. And if we have time, we'll check into the pros. But mainly tonight, we're going to focus on high school hockey. So if you'll stay with us, we'll come back in a second here if I push all the right buttons. And we'll be back with Dale Dunbar. This is MSO No Sports. In particular, it's North Shore Sports Night. We'll be right back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO NewsSports.com is connecting you to the North Shore with great local sports coverage. Live play-by-play football, Monday Night Sports Night Show, the Game Night Football Show, feature spotlight interviews with coaches and players, the Salem News Sports Writers Podcast, and joining us this fall, Nick and Nick in the North Shore Sports Desk and the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, the place to hear and see positive local coverage, making connections that support the North Shore. The North Shore is listening to MSO NewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Writer at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we did not make connections with Coach Dunbar, so Tim and I are back here to regale you with all of our wonderfulness here for the next minute or two, and then we will try get a hold of Essex Tech Coach Mark Leonard. Coach, I don't know if what your thoughts might be with respect to the Patriots or the pros or otherwise, but I think we're all rather disappointed in the Red Sox. Of course, it was a foregone conclusion that Bogaerts was not coming back. But they spent gobs of money on two middle-aged relievers, and a lot of money, like $90 million for 2 years, on a five-inch seven-foot guy who's never played in the major leagues.
Yeah, it's hard to understand the imaginations of the Red Sox front office, and they haven't even signed Devers yet.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, if you're not going to give Bogaerts the money, how are you going to give it to Devers? You better, because otherwise you got nothing.
Yeah.
To bring the people into the ballpark.
You know, and are they arrogant, Tim, in thinking that it doesn't matter what kind of a product you put on the field because it's a New England thing? Everybody loves the Red Sox. Everybody loves Fenway Park, no matter what.
I think partially, yeah. You know, they've been filling it up since 1967, so. You know, why stop now? Hope springs eternal. All you got to do is you know, dangle some of those old flags, dangle the word 67 out there, and they go, oh yeah, right, all over again. You know, it's getting kind of old. I think as New Englanders, we're rather cheap, and we oh Rick, I got to change this. It's my plumber called me back.
Okay. All right, Tim.
I lost my heat today.
No worries. Okay, yep, go ahead. All right, we all have to go through that for sure. All right, so let's take a break, and then we'll see if we can get a hold of Coach Leonard over at Essex Tech. So we'll try one more time, and let's see what happens.
The North Shore is listening to MSO NewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Writer at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, Tim Kearns is off the other line at the moment. We'll try to reconnect with him later on. He's got heating problems and talking with his plumber, and this is not the time to have your heat go out. But with the heat on already, we're going to talk with Essex Tech High School hockey coach Mark Leonard. Big win to open up the season, 6-1 over North Quincy. And, Coach, it's been a while on the one hand, but on the other hand, here we go again.
Yeah, I'm excited to get going. It's the best time of year, that's for sure.
Oh, Mark, it is great to have you on once again. And it's funny, you've seen it all, I think, and yet every season it brings a new excitement. I remember I taught public school for 40 years, and going into September, man, I just couldn't wait to get back in the classroom. Is it like that for you as well? I mean, I know that you do hockey pretty much all year round, but getting back to the excitement with your own team, do you have that, the fire in the belly?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially when you have a team that has, you know, we have 17 returning players, and we're coming off a, you know, record-setting season last year, and, you know, we get some good, really young players, a couple good freshmen, and great leadership, and so it just makes you excited. And like you said, I do it pretty much year-round, and the kids worked hard and over the summer and in the fall and all that, I think everyone is just really itching to get going, you know.
The setup over there at Essex Tech is pretty amazing, Mark. Tell me a little bit about the facilities, the practice sessions and so on, because so many schools don't have that, and your kids have to come from all over the North Shore, so to have a place that they can, you know, stay and go to has got to be an advantage for them.
Yeah, it's really, we're very fortunate, you know, the Essex Sports Center, there's two sheets of ice there. We have prime time ice every day, a couple hours every day, and they treat us great. For the parents, there's a Dunkin' Donuts in there. There's
yep.
Casey's restaurant. There's a lot going on. And Mike Boyle's, the strength and conditioning is upstairs, so our kids work out there. And the best thing is we have our own locker room so that the kids can keep their stuff there all season. It's a great rink, and we're lucky to have it.
All right, I'm looking at your roster, Coach, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I'm not seeing very many seniors on this team.
No, we don't. No, we're still a fairly young team. I believe we have 5 seniors on the team, and we have some really, really good freshmen. We have a big sophomore class that had a lot of success last year, and juniors and not many seniors. So, you know, we should be pretty good the next couple of years, you know, and it's a great bunch of kids. They work extremely hard. They're a very close-knit team, and they're very motivated to win, you know. Last year we were league champs, and we won the vocational state championship, and we won the school's first state tournament game in overtime. So there's a lot of excitement around the program, and the school is tremendous. It's a beautiful place. The facilities are awesome, and it's growing, and the trade schools are really hot right now, and so that's just a benefit for me as a hockey coach, and all the other sports too. We're getting stronger. We're getting, I think it used to be a school that kids just went to play hockey. You know, they went to school there and played hockey, but now actually, you know, hockey players are going there, and it's nice, you know.
All right, Mark, hold on. I want to bring in Tim Kearns. I'm going to have to put you on hold for 1 second, if that's okay.
No problem.
All right, and then let me see if I can get Tim on here. And if we get disconnected, I'm going to call you right back. So here we go.
Okay.
All right, Tim is back. Mark, you still with us?
Yep.
Mark?
Yep.
Okay, there we go. All right, Tim Kearns has joined us. Mark, he's our co-host, former baseball coach at Gloucester High School, and he's also our sports analyst here at MSO and our ambassador of goodwill. So Tim is our co- you've talked with Tim before, haven't you, Mark?
I have, yes.
Okay, all right, so I'm going on and on.
How are you, Mark?
Good, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. Happy holidays.
You too.
Great way to start the holiday season, Coach. And I want to get to that. I want to get to your roster a little bit more now about some of your kids. But let's do it kind of in reverse order. Let's talk about the game, because 6-1 opening night win over North Quincy. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good game. We played really well. You know, we had a lot of pressure on them the whole time, and it's tough to go on the road and play a team like North Quincy. They played with a lot of grit, and they had a lot of speed up front, which, you know, it took a little bit of adjusting for our defensemen, but once we figured it out, you know, it was a great win. We you know, 6 goals is a great thing to get the forwards going, and you know, to only give up one. Defense played great. Our goalie Kyle Mahan played great, and it's always nice to win, that's for sure. And on opening night, it's even more special, I think.
We take turns here, so it's Tim's turn to talk to you, Coach.
Okay,
you know,
Mike, Tim.
Going down and playing North Quincy or any of those, I guess you could call it South Shore town, historically always been really strong in hockey, and I think to some of the North Shore teams, over time they've been a bit intimidating because of their history and the quality of hockey that the teams in that area have played over the decades. Certainly.
Yes.
And for your team to get down there, which is still relatively new.
Right, correct, yeah.
The new school. How do you get into their heads to say, no big deal?
Yeah, you know what? They're very confident, not overconfident, but they're good players, and they're smart players, which I think might separate us from some teams. You know, they think the game pretty well. They buy into what the coaches are preaching. They work extremely hard, and you know, they're good players, and I think they've had a lot of success the last couple of years, and I think they feel that, you know, that they can play with anybody when we play our game. I mean, we got a lot of size, we got a ton of speed. I mean, that's our strength, and you know, those two, that combination can be pretty dangerous, you know, and on top of that, one of the best goalies on the North Shore, Kyle Mahan, he had 8 shutouts last year, so, you know, we feel when we're playing our game, you know, we can play with anybody.
Mark, how much does your experience and, dare I say it, your reputation, coaching other teams, and, you know, being who you are on the North Shore, play into kids understanding and listening? Because sometimes kids, doesn't matter who you are, they're not going to listen. But you've got their attention. You have ever since you've been in Essex Tech. So how much of that experience in your own head do you rely on? And again, everything is different, I know, from year to year. But yeah. you and your own confidence and understanding of the game.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I played the game, you know, in college, and I played overseas in Europe. I know the game. Doesn't make me a great coach, but I think I can get the kids to understand, you know, what we're trying to do. And basically, like you said, I've been on a couple teams, but the message is really still the same. You need to skate, and you need to go to the net hard. You need to protect the puck. You need to support the puck, and you know, and don't let any team outwork you. You know, that's really the message I've been coaching for 28 years, and you know, some teams buy in and some teams don't. You know, winning cures a lot. You know, so we went to, you know, this is my fourth year. Our first year we made the tournament, had a record amount of wins. Then, you know, the second year it was the COVID year. It was crazy, but we won. We would have made the tournament if they had it, but they didn't have a state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, in our third year, we were 16-4-3. We won the league. We won the vocational state championship. We won a tournament game. So that gives kids confidence. You know, I'm a pretty honest coach. You know, they don't like what I say to them sometimes, but I think they believe that I care about them, and I know the game, and my staff knows the game, you know, it works so far. It's worked.
Yes, it has.
So
yes, it has.
Hopefully it continues, you know.
Now, Mark, how did your preseason shake out? How many scrimmages were you able to get in beforehand to get a handle on what you had on the team?
Yeah, so we, I'm really big on scrimmages, and we always try to play really tough teams. I mean, we scrimmaged Masco, our top team. We scrimmaged Marlboro, who was went to the Garden last year, and we scrimmaged North Middlesex, all tournament teams. You know, good coaches, good teams, and you know, they learn quick the speed. The young kids learn quick what they need to do, and it gets them going. You know, we play those teams. You know, we just played Masco on Wednesday. Masco is one of the top programs around, and you know, we skated with them. I think we lost 4-2, but we did some power play man down for the last half hour. So it was a good game. And, you know, when you play a speed like that in a scrimmage, it kind of prepares you for the real thing, you know. And it's so I've always tried to do that, play strong teams in the preseason, kind of get us ready, you know.
You get a reaction from any of the kids like, Coach, what are you trying to do to us yet?
I get that after sprints sometimes, not too much after games, but no, they understand. You know, listen, I'll be honest with you. They, you know, we're a tech school, and you know, that's all we hear a lot, and that motivates these kids. Oh, you're just a tech school kid. You guys are a tech school, and then you know, our kids a lot of times will make sure to remind those teams that we beat. You just lost to a tech school, mm-hmm. You know, so they want to be better than a tech school. You know what I mean? And that's no offense to tech hockey. We're just traditionally, you know, technical schools are there for kids who aren't really athletes. They're just playing sports, and we're trying to change that. You know, we're trying to build the program to be able to compete, you know, for a state championship. And, you know, we're not that far away, whether it comes this year or next year, who knows. But, you know, we have a lot of talented kids, and they take a lot of pride in the fact that they are a tech school, and they want to beat teams that aren't, you know. And I think that motivates them a lot, too.
I don't think there's any doubt about the reputation of Essex Tech, Mark. It has grown academically and athletically so that it is one of the, you know, premier schools on the North Shore,
really,
no matter what you call it.
And, you know, we're lucky next year we're actually moving out of the Commonwealth Conference, and we're going into the Cape Ann League. So extremely excited about that. And that's really going to grow our program. You know, we're going to be in the top division with Newburyport, Linfield, Triton, and North Reading. So, you know, we're taking a big jump, and I couldn't be happier. I know the kids are excited, and we're going into it with a good team. You know, we're going to have another 17, 18 kids returning next year with a lot of talent. So we're going into that league at a good time, and, mm-hmm. and we're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be the beginning of a trend where we might see the demise of a vocational league, and these kids, these schools will begin to integrate into the local conferences around them?
You know, I don't know. I can only speak for ourselves. You know, in our league, really, Shawshin has always been there. They're the tops, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of competing with them. And, you know, whether they want to move or not, I'm not sure. But I would think you'd have to really grow your programs. And the hockey program at Essex isn't the only team that's growing. You know, the football team is getting better. The soccer teams, everyone is growing. And so it's great. It's great for the school that we're moving into that division. It's great. I know all the coaches are very excited about it. It says a lot about the school, about the coaches, and the athletes. You know, whether it's the demise of the Volk League, I don't know. But I can only speak for ourselves that we're really excited to get over to that league. And
That's great news. No. Glad to hear that. That's super. Coach, before we let you go, I want to ask you a little bit about your leaders, in particular your senior captains. You already talked a little bit about Kyle Mahan. Tell me a little bit about him and the rest of your leaders.
Yeah, so our four captains, they're all seniors. We have Cam Doherty, who's a tremendous defenseman. Kyle Mahan is our goalie. Ethan Long, another senior defenseman, tremendous leader, plays with a lot of heart. And then a forward, Larry Graffio, another senior. You know, great leaders. They help the young kids. They're always, you know, asking us, can we do this? Can we do that? This would be great for the team. I mean, they just ran a care package drive for the troops overseas.
Wow.
They're really into that stuff, and it's their senior year, and the good thing about these guys is they all play. So when you have seniors that play and are motivated, it really rubs off on the rest of the team. You know, sometimes you have teams you have seven seniors, but only two of them play. So your seniors aren't really motivated, those kids that don't play. But, you know, all these kids play, and not only do they play, but they're real good players, and the younger kids look up to them. So they've been tremendous, and I can't say enough good things about them.
Mm-hmm. Tim, final thoughts?
Who do you see as your toughest challenges coming up this year?
Yeah, well, I mentioned them earlier, Shasheen. You know, Shasheen has been a fixture in the Commonwealth Conference for a long time, and they play a very tough schedule like we do. You know, we bumped up our schedule this year. We're playing teams like Danvers and Marblehead, Matignon, North Reading, Lowell, a lot of traditionally really strong teams. But our first goal is to win our league, and to win our league, we have to beat Shasheen. You know, we've been fortunate enough to do that the last couple of years, but, you know, they're not going away either. They get a ton of kids in that school, and then Chuck Baker's a good friend of mine and a great coach, and, you know, they're our main competition in the league. And then the next goal is you want to qualify for the tournament, and then, you know, the third goal ultimately is to win a state tournament. So, but Shasheen, they were the king of that league for a long time, and so you really can't call yourselves the Kings until you beat them. We've been fortunate the last couple of years to do that, but, they're not going away. It'll be two of our toughest games all season.
All right, you've got Minuteman on Wednesday, is that correct?
Correct, yeah, down in Concord, 8 o'clock starts, a late one.
Okay, all right, so let's get the troops out there and get another win. Coach, great talking with you. Can't wait to follow you during the season, and let's talk again soon. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
You as well. Take care, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that is Essex Tech High School hockey coach Mark Leonard bringing his team up. And, Tim, the reputation of Essex Tech, I don't know how to say it diplomatically, but it's certainly big. I mean, academically, athletically, everything that they do over there, kids want to go to that school. Oh, I guess I lost him. All right. Well, that's typical of me. Okay. So anyway, we'll take a break and come back with both Tim and who's next? Mike Grenier. So stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, executive sports writer at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right.
Hey Tim, how are you? How you been?
I'm good.
Go ahead.
Glad we're this far apart.
Okay. As we talk across the miles, Mike Grenier has joined us now. He's our basketball insider, of course, sports historian, sports journalist. Tim Kearns is here. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Proposky editing this thing, and Bill Newell working on the Salem News Sports Writers podcast that will be dropped tomorrow morning around 8 o'clock. And Mike, as we start. And I don't want to keep you. If you feel lousy, you just pull.
No. We can get through this.
All right, because you pull the plug anytime you want. But I want to start Before we talk about the Celtics and your most recent Mike's Power Five, Paul Silas, because I forgot in some of the stuff we've talked about, I mentioned guys like Collins and Don Nelson, guys that Bailey Howell that Red Auerbach has brought in, and you know, Paul Silas is just one of those guys who did the same thing.
Well, there's no doubt, and you know what, they brought him in at a key time in the 1970s when they just needed that. They had a missing piece, a guy who could really run the floor and rebound. And Silas is one of the toughest rebounders in the history of the league. I mean, he could move people out with his body. He wasn't afraid to mix it up underneath. He's a classic old school inside player, right, Tim, both offensively and defensively, and definitely an above average rebounder. And he was really an important guy in the 1974 and 1976 championship teams. And he lost a lot of weight because that was one of the things he needed to do. He was too heavy in his previous appearances with other teams. And he became more of a svelte guy who could really run the floor and fit that Celtic style of Tommy Heinsohn, which was to run all the time. And I loved him as a player. I loved what he gave to the team. Unselfish guy. He didn't care whether he scored the points, but he certainly could score underneath, in particular on putbacks. He had some skills around the basket. Just a terrific addition to the team at that particular time. And he was a pleasure. I know for Gary Larrabee and myself covering those games for the Salem News, he was an absolute pleasure to deal with. He was like what they used to call Kevin McHale, 411. A fountain of information. And you could say the same thing about Silas. He was always cooperative with the media. He fit in with the team absolutely great. And, you know, I remember when he first came aboard, and this is a personal story, Rick, when he came aboard with the Celtics in 74, I think it was, or 73, he said to me one day, "I don't buy into this whole thing, Celtic mystique. I don't buy into that." Well, within a year, he had changed his tune because he sort of got attuned to the way the Celtics did things, and he became more aware of guys like Bill Russell and Bob Cousy and John Havlicek and Sat Sanders and so on down the line. So he became invested as a Celtics personality, as a guy that you could regard as one of the greats in Celtics history, and he really was an important cog in those championships in the 70s. And you know, people tend to forget those teams, you know, led by Dave Collins and Havlicek, but he was a mighty, heavy contributor, and one of the all-time great Celtics, in my opinion.
You know, Mike, I have my computer opened up to ESPN, and there in the middle there's the story of Paul Silas and that big smiling face.
Yeah.
And did they trade Paul Westphal to him?
I don't remember quite the way it happened, because it happened so long ago now. I'm sorry, go ahead, Tim.
Westphal went to Phoenix.
Say this again?
Westphal went to Phoenix.
Yes, he did. He did. I'm not quite sure. Auerbach did a lot of dealings back then. I'm not quite sure if that's the way he got here, but it certainly was a welcome presence when he was here. And I'll tell you a funny story, Rick. I remember, and of course those guys back in the 70s, Tim, as you know, didn't make much money. And I remember Silas kidding me with me after a game, or maybe he wasn't kidding. He said, "You know, Mike, every time I go on a road trip, my wife wants me to bring her back some gifts." So it means every single time he went on a road, he was expected to bring home something for his wife. And, you know, and I met his wife, and she was as sweet as can be. So I think maybe he might have brought home gifts on certain road trips, but certainly not on every road trip. But the bottom line is, he was a great contributor to those championship teams, and it was that three overtime game against the Phoenix Suns in '76, where he expended so much energy that he had IVs in his arm because he was dehydrated. And of course, there was a quick turnaround between Game 5 on a Friday night, triple overtime, and then playing at Phoenix on an afternoon on a Sunday. And I just remember the Celtics were very concerned, and legitimately so, about his availability for the next game. And he was a great Celtic, like I said. And you know, when I think of those championships in the 70s, they could not have done it without him, because he was a missing piece that they added.
Well, Bob Ryan was actually published, had a story in the Globe today.
Okay.
And I haven't seen Bob Ryan's stories in so long. And of course, you immediately jumped to mind as Ryan was telling this personal story, and he said the same thing about Silas's disbelief in the Celtic mystique.
Okay.
And it also just brings me back, and I think Tim might be nostalgic about this too, and we said many times about the stories you could get because you could talk one-on-one with these guys.
Oh, yeah. That happened so many times. And you talk about old school. One summer after the Celtics had finished the playoffs, I wrote Silas a letter like on a July day or something, just kind of catching up with him and hoping, saying, you know, I'll catch up with you on the first day of training camp, something like that. And, you know, 2 months later, or whenever they report the training camp and I went to the opening practice, he said, "Hey, Mike, I thank you so much for your letter during the summertime. And yeah, I did this, we did this, this,
wow.
and this." And it's like, nowadays you'd fire off a text message or a tweet or something like that, and a guy may or may not get back to you in 4 years. But in those days, you know, you got to deal with these guys on a personal level. So they remembered you because you dealt with them on a game by game basis, so they remember names and faces, you know.
You know, those were the days, Mike, when men played basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and understood the hard work it took to be successful and to make a team successful.
Yeah.
Being willing to give up some of your own game so that the team would be better. You know, you look at the guys in the league back then. You know, the Laker teams, and you know, you knew all those guys' names.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, back then, and the stars from the Bulls and Cincinnati and Philly,
yeah,
and New York, and it's like, you know, now it's hard to name one or two guys from some of the bigger teams.
That's right. That's right. No doubt about it.
The rough done is that everybody goes, "Nah, I really care about them."
Yeah, yeah. They appreciated playing the game because there weren't as many roster spots available. There weren't as many teams.
Yeah.
And they weren't making that great money, so it was behooved them to play as a team because those playoff checks meant a lot more than they do now. I mean, the playoff checks today that they get, which are considerable, you know, players can use that in one afternoon at the gambling table, you know.
Yeah.
And that just didn't happen back then. Guys needed the money in the off season, so they relied on each other and tried to be the best possible team they could be because, let's face it, they needed the money, but it was also a source of personal pride to be a part of a great organization like the Celtics were at that point.
Before we do our Power Five, Mike, the Celtics the other night against Phoenix looked absolutely invincible. I mean, invincible. They just demolished Phoenix, every aspect of the game. And then came the Warriors. So what's your take on all of that?
Yeah, the Warriors. Yeah, you know, I think you and I went back and forth a little bit. My take on that, of course, is that, you know, ordinarily you don't lead Phoenix by 45 points in the second half. So that was a bit of an anomaly, but a good one if you're a Celtics fan. And by the same token, the Celtics are very capable, I think, of beating the Warriors. But Jason Tatum shot 6 for 21. You know, Al Horford was still not available. The Splash Brothers, as they're called, you know, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry combined for 66 points and shot lights out. And, you know, it's particularly Thompson who had his best career game versus the Celtics. It's against the Celtics, he had his best career game. And he had 24 points at the half. So all those things combined in a 48-minute game turned the tide for the Warriors. And, you know, they got behind by so far early in the game that it was tough to make it up. Although I do recall, I want to say, with like 5:09 left, Tatum was at the line and could have cut the lead to 6, and he missed 2 free throws.
Right.
Which
yep.
is unlike him. So, bad game, first loss of the road trip, and now, of course, I think it's kind of cool they're playing back-to-back nights in the same building on the road. That I can't recall that happening in a while. You know, they're in that building that's, you know, both the Lakers and the Clippers play in, and you know, they don't have to, like, move and go to a different hotel and play 24 hours later, they have a good shot at beating the Clippers tonight and finishing off against the Lakers tomorrow night. A 5-1 road trip would be absolutely a great road trip, considering that, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks have been playing well and right on their backs, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are still playing well and all that. So, yeah, a 5-1 road trip, I'd take that. Coming home after that to play, I think they got Orlando, which is a weak team, on Friday night at back at the Garden. So I'll take this road trip. It would be great if they could take both here to finish 5-1. 4-2 is still acceptable, but, you know, we've come to have higher standards with this year's team, so 5-1 would be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so crazy. I don't know how people in other cities react, but people in New England, especially eastern Massachusetts, have become very used to getting very spoiled.
Yes.
By the success of their team, the Patriots, over the last 20 years.
Yes.
The Mads get their 6-6. You know, they can't take a step back and go, okay, let's look at the overall situation here.
That's right.
You know, the Bruins are running rank shots over the NHL. The self esteem rolling the NBA. And the Red Sox are being the Red Sox.
I mean, yeah, but the Red Sox, you know, and we grew up in the era when they didn't win any championships,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, I, you know, obviously I was at the 1986 World Series when they were about to win it for the first time in 68 years, I guess it wasn't. They didn't do it. You know, that tragic loss to the Mets in Game 6 where the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs, and then, you know, they had to wait another 18 years before they did win it all. So, but the Red Sox have had their share of success at least since the year 2000, so we can't complain too much about that. And like you mentioned, Tim, the Bruins are right there with the Celtics in terms of overall phenomenal start. And, you know, so you're right. People in other cities, like Detroit, for example, they'd be starved to have one winning team. They're excited about the Detroit Lions, who are still below 500. So we are spoiled a bit, and I think we want to continue to be spoiled, and that's why we're hoping the Celtics and Bruins can keep this up and hopefully sneak the Patriots into the playoffs too.
Yeah, well, that's a long shot, but
it is a long shot.
But everything you said is just so true, and the Celtics. It's funny watching the Warriors game. I was thinking early on, not tonight. Those are the two words that were just in my head. Not tonight.
Yeah.
And you could sort of see the chemistry wasn't there as it usually is. Did you notice that there wasn't really any flow? And also the way that Mazzulla used the bench, he didn't really bring anybody in off the bench.
Well, that's right. It's almost like with what Udoka was doing in the finals last year, trying to rely on just 6 or 7 people. And, you know, Peyton Pritchard didn't see the floor. Hauser, Shaw, just very few minutes. He's been a great shooter all year. So he tried to win it with Tatum and Brown, I thought,
mm-hmm.
playing them a lot of minutes. And Tatum shot 6-for-21 and didn't have a good night at the free throw line. And Brown had 30, but, you know, he didn't have his best night either. So, you know, and, of course, Horford was absent again. So, yeah, and you know what, though? You know who did play with the shining light in that game? And he has been a shining light, and I knew you got to be thinking the same thing, Rick, is Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, yeah.
He played great.
Steady.
He's probably been, aside from Tatum, maybe their most consistent player. He plays about half a game, 23 minutes, you know, 23 minutes in a 48-minute game, and he's like the third leading scorer on the team. And that's, he's shooting at a high percentage, both from the three-point line and from the two-point area. So, again, he's been like an ideal sixth man, a real boost off the bench when the opposing team maybe is getting a little tired with their starters. And I thought he played extremely well in that game against the Warriors Saturday night.
Agreed.
Are we ready for the Power Five? Because there's going to be some, Tim, you may want to discuss this because there'll be some couple of changes here, you know?
And I know who's following from the list.
Okay. I mean, I tell you what, I still like the Cleveland Cavaliers at the number 5 spot because, you know, they're hanging around at 17-10. They've been right up there all year. They're third in the conference. They're, you know, Donovan Mitchell's missed a few games with injuries, but, you know, this kid Darius Garland, who's a young player, is having a great year. So they've been a surprise, and they hang in there at the number five spot. You know, I think I have to put the Memphis Grizzlies. They've won, like, I think 8 of their last 10. They're 17-9. They're in second place in the Western Conference. And I've mentioned how exciting they are. When they run the floor, they're a wide-open offensive team led by Ja Morant, who is definitely one of the most explosive players in the NBA. So I've got them at the number 4 spot. Here's where the surprise could be, Tim and Rick. I'm putting the Milwaukee Bucks, who have played very well, at the number 3 spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready to slip them into almost the number 1 spot, but they've been on a road trip lately after playing a bunch of home games. But they lost to the Houston Rockets, one of the worst teams in the NBA last night. And they only scored like 92 or 93 points. So they slip a little bit to the number 3. Of course, this is all very fluid. Next week, they could be number 2 or number 1. But they slip to the number 3 spot because into that number 2 spot, the New Orleans Pelicans.
Whoa.
9-1 of their last 10. Zion Williamson, after missing so much time with injuries the previous couple of years, has been a revelation, scoring 25 points a game. And, you know, outside of New Orleans, people don't know too much about, like, their second-best player, Brandon Ingram, who has played only 15 games because of injuries, but he's still averaging almost 21 points a game. And C.J. McCollum, who used to be with the Portland Trail Blazers, is a terrific third-star player on that team. He's been around the league for 9 years. He's a great scorer as an outside shooter, as a guard. And they've won, you know, they've won 9 of the last 10. They're right up there in the conference. So, you know, I have to slip them into that number 2 spot, and I have to still stay with the Celtics at number 1 in case anybody was suspended animation thinking the Celtics wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be there. They're still 8-2 in their last 10, I believe. They've had a terrific road trip, really, other than that game against the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, Tatum is still averaging 30 points a game, and Jaylen Brown's right there. And we mentioned Brogdon, now the third leading scorer in the team. Marcus Smart still playing well. Howes are still shooting well. There's still a lot of great things about the team, and still a very promising team in the next several months here that could go the distance. So they're still around there at number 1 until they prove otherwise, and let's hope they don't prove otherwise.
Well, so,
go ahead.
I did guess your number 2 team.
Yeah.
In an online article on Williamson and raving about his play, and then I was just looking through the standings there, and I saw the Pelicans in first place, and I went, what? And I looked over, I saw 9-1, going, okay, that's number 2.
Right. Well, and you know, and Zion, who people tended to criticize because he was injured a lot and took his time in coming back, and he was overweight, let's face it. He was overweight. I've seen him play a little bit. He's in much better shape. He's got, for a big, he sort of like reminds you of Wes Unseld with speed, right?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Wes Unseld was a wide body back in the old days. Everybody loved his game. He was an undersized center. Ricky, you talk about old school guy. Wes Unseld was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy is like Wes Unseld, but with far more agility, and his body build is the same as Unseld, but he's much more agile and quick, and he can score inside. And he ticked off the Phoenix Suns a few nights ago by at the end of a major game. They won big time. He went for a 360 dunk in the final seconds of the game, and the Phoenix Suns objected to it, particularly Chris Paul and a couple other players. But you know what? I've seen other players do the same thing, and Williamson, Zion needs to grow up still. He's a young guy. Remember, he only played like a year at Duke. So, you know, I can give him a mulligan for that. If he keeps doing it, when we could point fingers at him. But I'm impressed with the way they play. I'm impressed with, for a team that doesn't have superstars other than Zion, perhaps. Ingram is a terrific player. C.J. McCollum. Now, C.J. McCollum, I remember him. He played at one of those small, he didn't play Ivy League, but Ivy League type school. And he came out 9 years ago, the same year that Michael Carter Williams of Hamilton, Mass., was the rookie of the year. McCollum was a rookie with the Portland Trail Blazers, and McCollum has just gotten better and better over the years. And he fits the style of that New Orleans team because he can score, but he's also a very good passer. He can play point or off guard. And they also have the big guy from Lithuania, Valunciunas, it's hard to pronounce, but he's one of those guys, a foreign guy who does the dirty work sort of like Jokic does for Denver. He gets you 11, 12, 14 rebounds in a game, and he can score 15, 16 points. So they have a sharp team that's crept up out of nowhere, Tim. And like you said, on a national level, they're not well known, but for people who follow basketball, they're an intriguing team that could create a little bit of havoc in the playoffs.
Yeah, they certainly could. You know, your mindset is different. Your attitude is hardened by the fact that people are overlooking you, and you know they're overlooking you. And it's okay. All we do is play our game, go out and prove ourselves. And they are always the most dangerous teams.
Yep, you're right. You're right. And getting back to the Celtics, because we don't want to stray too far. I know all these power rankings for MVP. Tatum is at the top of the list, and that's great. But, you know, we're still talking one-third of the way through the season, and I think it's a little bit early to discuss
of course.
MVP candidates. I'd like to sort of wait till they've played, you know, like half a schedule or something like that.
But
obviously Tatum is playing as great as anybody in the league and deserves to be up there, but I just think it's a little early after 26, 27 games to be naming your MVP candidate.
Yeah, that's radio fodder, you know, to get listeners and to call in. Final question I have tonight, Mike, is and I love the Power Five. I think it's great. You give
fun stuff.
You give a great recap of what's going on the week, put everything in perspective. We used to have a guy at WESX named Jay Pauley. He was a Beverly hockey coach for a while.
Yep.
He was a teacher in Gloucester and just a wonderful, wonderful man. And he worked with Bill Newell on Saturdays for the WESX football scoreboard.
Oh, yeah.
And he took, like, I don't know, 200 or 300 college teams every week and just put them in the leagues. Yeah. And he knew the mascot names, and he knew players, and he made it so easy to listen to. And that's what you're doing. I love it. Final question I have.
Yes.
What's going on with Pat Connaughton?
Pat Connaughton, well, he's back in the lineup, you know, playing about half the game, 23, 24, 25 minutes, has not shot it well. I've watched every game that they've been on TV. He is shooting like 30-35%, and that's not like him. He shot like a career high, like 46-47-48% last year, and shot it very well from 3-point land, almost 40%. So naturally, he missed quite a few games with the calf injury, and he just hasn't had his shooting legs yet. And he's scoring 7, 8, 9 points a game. And obviously, Coach Mike Budenholzer has a lot of confidence in him because he's got him out there at key moments in the game when the game is close. He likes his defense. He likes what he does in the flow of the game. He just hasn't shot it well, particularly from the three-point area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for him to get in a groove. He just hasn't done it yet. But he is playing an important role for a team that's going to be there at the end, I think. The Bucks, they scare me, Rick. I got to be frank. Simply because Giannis Antetokounmpo is just a guy that is almost impossible to guard.
Jim, final thoughts?
I've never seen a player in the league, Mike.
Yes.
Like Giannis play as long as he does. You know what I mean?
I do.
His wingspan, his stride, he's just long. And you know, a guy takes 3 steps and he's end to end.
Yes, right. That's right. And of course, they don't call the 5th and 6th steps for the walking anymore. However, you know, it just concerns me because that'll be like a very difficult assignment for Al Horford should it come to that in May or June or something. You know, so it is a concern. He's a great player, and of course, Chris Middleton. Although he only played 6 minutes the other night, so I'm wondering if he got re-injured a little bit. But Chris Middleton is a great number two scorer for that team. And they have so much depth, it's incredible.
Mike, get rid of that nasty bug, all right?
Will do.
For heaven's sakes. All right, we'll talk next Monday, and then we're going to probably take a 2-week break with the holidays.
That sounds great, guys. And, you know, you guys have a good week, and let's hope the Patriots can pull through tonight, the Celtics can win on the West. I hope everybody's going to DVR the game, I guess, tonight with this 10:30 start.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Mike.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Mike. Be well.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, that is Mike Grenier, former Salem News sports writer, but also a sports journalist, sports historian, still active in the business along with so many other people and so many great stories. And, you know, Tim, I saw that article by Bob Ryan today, and I don't think I've seen an article written by him in a long time. And, you know, I immediately was wondering if Mike could talk with Paul Silas as well. And he has.
Of course. Because he was a kid back then.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I can't remember that far back, to tell you the truth.
That's because you're so much older than even me.
That's right. I'm older than everybody. All righty then. I'm going for 200, though, so if a part falls off, I'll just get another one put on, that's all. All right, Coach, have a good week, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, my friend.
All right, Tim. Thank you. Good night. Good night. Be well. All right, that is Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst and our ambassador of goodwill. Of course, you just heard from Mike Grinier. So on behalf of Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, and myself, thank you very much for listening. Spread the word. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsports.com.